It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to episode 220 of Five and Dive. It is Friday, June 10th. I am your host, Craig Goldstein, editor-in-chief of Baseball Prospectus. Joining me as my co-host on this lovely Friday, at least in Maryland, is Jeffrey Paternostro, our lead prospect writer for Baseball Prospectus. Jeffrey, how is everything going for you?
The weather here is nice. It's not going to be nice on Sunday when Andrew Painter goes in Hudson Valley, which I'm not thrilled about, but...
You were hoping for Saturday, weren't you?
I was hoping Sunday is easier for me. I mean, it's going to rain all weekend, it looks like. So
terrific.
Which is annoying.
So maybe it won't happen at all.
Yeah, I have to do stuff around the house this weekend, or like outside the house. So not great. I did see a bear this morning.
Out and about.
I guess my sixth bear sighting. Yeah. A
few houses. Of 2022?
No, since
or just in general.
There, yeah.
Oh, what kind of bear are we talking about?
It's a black bear. We have black bears around here. I'm across from a state park, so.
That's nice. That's
I haven't
fun.
Had any really the closest encounter we had when the kid was really young. We had her like in the baby Bjorn, and we're walking the dogs to the park. And like as we got to the end of our street, this bear just like trucks out of the woods and gets hit by a panel truck in the middle of the road.
Oh Jesus!
And then just like shakes it off, like, and just runs back into the woods. Like we're gonna skip the walk today, I think.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Was the truck okay?
Yeah, the truck was all right. It didn't hit all it, right. Like, super hard. But, yeah.
I know that there are stories of, like, in, like, farmland of, like, a yeah. cow, you know, whatever gets hit. And
oh,
the
sure,
cow
yeah,
is
yeah.
fine and the truck is yeah, totaled yeah. or whatever it is. All right. Well, that's okay. Well, congratulations on the Bears.
Yeah, he was just walking across the street.
I do want to check in on any, you know, it's Friday. I think it's going to be a little bit. Hey, we got some very fun topics today. I think we're going to be a little bit loose. Yeah. Do you have any coffee chat? Do you want
so
to get
I'm
to?
I'm drinking. I took the kid out of the house. It was a exciting morning. So
oh boy!
Just took for a little drive. So I went to Dunkin' Donuts, got some donuts, and I'm drinking their cold brew with cold foam. It's fine.
Oh, I got that when I was in Massachusetts this weekend for BP. Writer Ben Carsley's wedding. I got that exact the cold brew.
Yeah,
with cold
you
gotta foam.
Get some Dunkin' nice. When you're in Massachusetts. I feel like yeah.
Yeah, you have to exactly. And that was very nice. I had not had that.
It's
before.
Not. It's
I really
like,
liked
it's,
it.
It's perfectly average cold brew. It's fine.
Well, what I liked about it is I generally like a iced coffee with some cream in it. I don't mind some sweetness. I don't put sugar in normally, but like theirs
yeah,
is so sweet to be.
Yeah.
There's if you get. Cream
if you get
and,
cream
it's
and sugar,
already
yeah.
yeah it's like it's a whole thing
but yeah,
so it was a nice way to get like a,
super yeah.
a little sweetness it drips down it's very nice yeah. I am drinking a Compass Coffee vanilla cream cold brew this morning little it's become I used to love it. It's become a little sweet for my taste and I should get like half the vanilla probably something like that but Baron if you're in the DC Maryland Virginia area Compass Coffee very nice
the DMB they say
yeah as they say I do want to touch on one other thing before we get into our first topic Jeff I'm sure you'll be thrilled but we talked last podcast about the Rays and Ginny's piece about the Rays I said to go read it was more eloquent and well stated than whatever I had to say on the topic people did go read it there were many nice comments below there were also some dumb comments below and I just wanted to get into this some of it is Steve Goldman who has been at BP a very long time he even stepped away came back but he's been part of BP for a very long time wrote about this today I tweeted about it a little bit but I just wanted to put it out there that like if you don't like what we're doing you are more than welcome to voice it in the comments. I actually like talking to people about their various perspectives. I go back and forth in the comments quite a bit. But like when it's a moral or ethical issue about like how people perceive and treat, minorities or LGBTQ plus people, or, you know, just other people in general in this capacity. Like, you threatening to withhold your, or like to unsubscribe or not renew your subscription or whatever, isn't really going to change like the our viewpoint on issues like that. So if you don't like our viewpoint on issues like that, again, you're more than welcome to express them in a reasonable or polite way. But if your whole thing is like, I'm going to try and say you run business badly by driving me away, just go away without saying anything. It's not going to change what we do or who we are. And so I this is coming in probably a little hot out of nowhere, but like, again, like I've been thinking about this. I've been seeing people tell like, oh, you're not responding to customers the right way. And like, the reality is that, like, again, this is a moral, and there are ethical issues that we talk about. And it's not about like what your like what the $46 that you pay to subscribe to BP is worth to us on that front. Like, it's about a bigger thing than that. So if you're going to try and like leverage that into swaying the opinion or perspective of the site, just don't. It's not going to. So I just wanted to put that out there. And I would say also, just not at BP, like apply that across the world. Like, don't be the person trying to leverage your business interest in something into people changing their moral like thing. Like, just don't. You can make the act without actually announcing it or telling them you don't know how to run a business. You know, we can all agree that people who go to and get MBAs are stupid and it's worthless. But I did get one, so I do know how to run a business, as the upper education is, the graduate education system teaches it. So, you know, on whatever level you want to talk to, like, if you're the guy saying the customer is always right, even when they're wrong, like, no, that's not how it works. And it wasn't ever really how it works, but it's certainly not how it works now. But anyway, just, you know, take it and apply it through your life. You don't need to do that. You can just leave. It's okay. It
took me 7 years to get an undergraduate degree, and I think they're full of shit too, Craig. So it's not just overeducated. I mean, I am overeducated, clearly.
But. Sure. But yeah. Anyway, I wanted to get, you know, some of that out there. Yeah. I would recommend reading Steve's piece on this. You know, I would say I've said this to Steve, and I have talked about this a lot. I've said this on the podcast before. I've said it in writing before. But people say, like, it's not just the stick to baseball stuff, but don't talk about this thing or don't talk about that thing. One of the comments said, like, oh, Baseball HQ runs real baseball articles or whatever. That means, look, when we write these articles, it's not at the expense of another article. We're not knocking something off the schedule. We're not going to not have someone write something because we write a less on-field baseball focused article, first and foremost. Secondly, I don't know how one looks at, Jeff, I don't know if you pay attention to golf. I don't a ton, but I've been exposed to this a lot. But like, golf has this like LIV 54. It's like a 3-round golf thing that the Saudis are funding out of their sovereign wealth fund or whatever, LIV as they're calling it. And like, guys who are signing up to play for that for massive amounts of money are getting banned from the PGA Tour. They're essentially reputation laundering Saudis, the Saudi sovereign wealth fund, and the money that called, it gets.
Sports washing.
There you go.
They've done obviously they bought Newcastle United. They're doing this with the WWE shows. They run there twice a year too. Yeah.
So the thing to me that people say this is like, I always say baseball is everything it touches, but this is true of almost all sports. How do you talk about what's happening in golf right now without talking about broader things than golf itself, right? To do so is to ignore the context under which everything else is taking place. And so again, I apply that prism to baseball. And again, you can't talk about this stuff without talking about things out off the field, things that necessarily affect the game on the field, but are generally off the field. So anyway, I recommend reading Ginny's piece if you haven't yet. It's really, really good, exceedingly well written, as her stuff always is. I recommend reading Steve's. But I did just want to get that off my chest because it does rankle me when people try to leverage and sway coverage by trying to say like, you're going to lose customers. The reality is I don't give a fuck. You know, there was a tweet a while back that was like, tweet to lose your worst followers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, tweet in an effort essentially to lose your worst followers. That's how we're writing. Like if you are our worst reader, like, and you want to leave, bye. It's fine. I'm not worried about it. We're actually doing pretty well. Thank you. Anyway.
Now to our regularly scheduled Tony La Russa weirdness.
Yeah, well, it's on field, so people will be happy about that. Our first segment, Walk This Way. I was watching as this happened, Jeff, and I was earnestly a little confused. If you watched any of the clips, I would say like Jason Benetti and Steve Stone were pretty confused. That was probably my favorite clip. Or maybe it was just the guy in the crowd yelling, Tony, what are you doing? I'll set the scene. The Dodgers were trailing,
They were up 7-6.
Oh, they were
six.
Up one. It was 5-4.
Berger had just homered to cut it to one, I think.
Oh, okay. So yeah. So it was
6-5.
6-5.
Yeah.
Okay, I apologize. Setting the scene very well. Freddie Freeman was on first base. Two out. Trey Turner is batting. Bennett Souza, a left-hander, gets two strikes on Trey Turner. Uncorks a wild pitch. Freddie Freeman moves to second base. The count is 1-2 to Trey Turner. Tony La Russa calls for an automatic walk.
Did he put up three fingers or four fingers?
That's a great question. He did it fairly immediately, which I think is going to be relevant later, but he did it fairly immediately. Turner, I think, you know, moderately slowly is like, what's happening? Okay, I guess I'll take my base. That brings up, he walked Turner to bring up Max Muncy, who is a lefty. He's giving the platoon advantage. Muncy has also been terrible this season. He had just come back. This is his first game back from an IL stint to try and get his elbow a little rest and rehab. So again, you get the platoon advantage. The first base was open because of the wild pitch that did change, you know, the situation. But this is a bizarre decision under any circumstances.
If you think there's such a big difference between Turner and Muncy, if you think there's such a big difference between Turner with two strikes and Muncy in that spot, there's an even bigger difference between Turner with no strikes and Muncy in that spot. So why aren't you just walking Turner in the first place?
Well, the answer he would
you don't want to put
and
the
I'm not saying it's a good
one scoring
is,
position
you don't want to move the run up,
I get that,
but once it's already there you don't want to
yeah
it's not the tying run, it was they were already up one if it
okay
was
you're right
five
you're,
at the time,
no
right?
The,
so like, but
yeah,
you don't,
the Dodgers were yeah sorry yeah but yeah. You don't want to put the neck there between a two run lead and a one run lead, although it's still fairly early in the game.
It was the
it's like a medium leverage
fifth
spot,
or sixth inning,
but
like he's saying I wouldn't move the run into that position, but once it is in that position, I'm taking the bat out of the better hitter's hand.
Right.
Now, the problem with this is, look, if your argument is going to be that Max Muncy sucks right now, that's probably the best argument you have.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Max Muncy runs essentially Ben Clemens wrote about this. He got a piece out last night at Fangraphs. Max Muncy runs, he's actually got a better line against lefties than he does against righties, at least since he's been like good with the Dodgers. He's essentially a platoon neutral hitter, and he's just a good hitter. He's also, I mean, I think you have to take into account, like, he's also exceedingly patient. So like a fair number of these plate appearances are going to result in a walk regardless of who it is. This one did not result in a walk, Jeff. Muncy hit an opposite field home run. A three-run homer. It became relevant that this game ended 11-9. It was not over it must have been 7-5 because this made it 10-5.
Okay, maybe they'd already scored a run that inning.
I think so. So this made it 10-5. Apologize on making a hash of those details. It's not that part is not the most crucial. But yeah, I mean, in general, I agree with you that if Turner is such a dangerous hitter, and Muncy is so bad as to be preferable, you should just be walking Turner in the first place to get the platoon advantage. It's almost certainly what Dave Roberts would do based on his previous game. This makes no sense.
Did you know this was the 3-year anniversary of the get it out of the ocean
home? I did not know that. No.
Exactly 3 years to the date.
Well, okay. Don't pitch to Max Muncy on June 9th. Yeah. So again, this was confusing to basically everybody.
Yes.
Jason Benetti and Steve Stone. Again, one of my favorite clips is Jason Benetti going, wait, what's happening? He's walking him. And then it's like, he goes, can you explain this to me? And Steve Stone said, Steve Stone analyzed what Tony was looking at correctly and was like, you know, he wants the lefty, the runner moved up, blah, blah, blah. He's got the open base. And Benetti goes, generally with two strikes, batting averages are quite low. And Steve Stone just goes, oh yeah, that is the case. Like, no one got it. So people tried to ask Tony La Russa about it after the game, said, what's going on? And Tony said, oh, is that a question? It's just obvious to me that you'd want to walk Trey Turner with two strikes to get to a 0-0 Max Muncy. And he was extremely defensive, Jeff. He said, do you know what Trey Turner is hitting with 0-1, two strikes? Do you know what he's hitting? He's a really good hitter.
I don't, but Joe Sheehan looked it up, and his career against lefties after getting to 1-2 is .258, .310, .390, and Muncy's against lefties is .351, .365, .492. I'm sorry, .251, .365, .492. That's better. Those are higher numbers.
Well, he seemed to imply, and I don't, look, he was just being defensive and probably stumbling over his words a little bit, but he seemed to imply that, like, the comparison is Max Muncy with two strikes against a lefty versus Trey Turner with two strikes against a lefty.
Yeah, but you got
to
get there.
I would just, you know, like to interject that Max Muncy starts with a 0-0 count.
Mm.
It's not like you get to transfer the count over to Max Muncy. So that doesn't make any goddamn sense at all.
Right. And he didn't actually get to two strikes with Max Muncy, I believe, either.
Yeah. Well, regardless of what he did, the guy hit a home run. I mean, I understand that's reductive and we do process, not results, whatever. It's not a good process. Like, if you've got two strikes on the guy, as everyone is saying, throw three pitches out of the zones, hope he chases one. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
It is a baffling decision.
So Joe Girardi got fired. Joe Maddon got fired shortly after he recorded the last show. Is La Russa next?
By any reasonable criteria, Tony La Russa would be gone before.
Sure.
But so yeah. I mean, yes, he should be next, but he's best friends with Jerry Reinsdorf. So, no. I think Tony has a job until Tony decides he doesn't want a job.
Yeah.
Maybe after the season they'll do something. But so they're not going to do that to him.
Face saving something or other.
This isn't what Jerry Reinsdorf does.
No.
I mean, like, he's just like, he's both terrible to his employees, but also, like, bizarrely loyal to you know, certain ones. And like he would not fire Tony La Russa in season, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think any reasonable interpretation would say he'd be extremely hot in his chair, but no, I don't think he will be. The White Sox, speaking, I mean, like, what do you do with this team? Like, I mean, Yoan Moncada has like a 15 OPS plus.
Yeah, I'm not super.
I'm not saying I'm like super worried about him, but it's also June 10th.
It is, and like, the Twins can't seem to run. They started with three straight home runs against Gerrit Cole and ended up losing 10-7. They can't beat the Yankees, so they're not exactly like running away with it.
No, they're not. They cannot beat the Yankees. I mean, my God.
The White Sox are only 5 games back of the Central, and I can do math, 2.5 of the last wild card spot.
Yeah, I mean, it's not.
Do you want to quote their updated run differential, Craig?
What is it? Now, it's like, got to be close to minus 60 at this point. I mean, yeah, this is, I don't know. It's less about even the where they sit relative to other teams than like, what is their...
What are they? Yeah.
Yeah, what are they? This, I mean, the vibes are...
It's bad vibes.
Atrocious. And it doesn't seem like Tony's the guy to turn that around. Mm-hmm. They are at minus 57, just for what it's worth.
I mean, again, if you tell me that like Jake Berger, Michael Kopech, and Andrew Vaughn were 35% better than league average, I'd be like, oh, the stuff's going great.
And I mean, like Michael Kopech is incredible.
Cease has been good.
Cease has been very good.
Johnny Cueto's come out and been good.
Yeah, he got roughed up by the Dodgers a little bit, but he's been. I mean, he's got a 3.23 ERA over five starts. That's fine.
Yeah, you know, Giolito's been a little up and down, but has generally been good.
Fine.
Yeah,
I mean, he's been fine. Yeah, I mean, you go down their first. If you can find their first three ERAs in their bullpen on like BREF, is it 2.92, 2.45, 2.55? They're
yeah, it's just they have no. They really don't have a lot of depth is the main problem.
Well, they lead off Larry Garcia, who has a 29 OPS plus.
Yeah.
Yoan Moncada's at 18. I shouldn't have slandered him saying it's 15. Hmm. He's at 18 on OPS plus. But yeah, I mean, again, we went through this. It's like Vaughn is fine. Luis Robert is fine. Tim Anderson has been incredible. He's hurt right now. Jake Berger, 132, as you said, OPS plus. Like Jose Abreu, really bad start, has gotten in gear. Yasmani Grandal has been terrible, but like, I don't know. I just don't know where this team goes, or how they fix it. Like, it's not like they can go find, like, what are they dealing from their farm, or whatever to get another piece potentially. I don't know.
I don't either. Speaking of dysfunctional organizations, Greg.
yeah. Our second segment, the Baltimore Chop.
Yeah.
The Baltimore Banner posted a scoop that the Angelos brothers.
I also considered crab guys for this topic as well.
The Angelos family has some infighting going on. As you said, this explains a lot. But I would also argue just like, I don't know, their plan in general explains a lot, whether it's infighting or not. It sounds like Lou Angelos, one of the two kids of Peter Angelos, is suing John and his mother.
Yes.
John is the control person of the Orioles. But the suit is essentially saying like John has... taken essentially unilateral control
of
the team when it was supposed to be run together. That John considered or maybe is still considering moving the team to Nashville.
Yeah.
Which was I had not seen it. Obviously, Nashville had been making a push for a team. I thought it was an expansion effort at the time more than
I don't know how accurate that is, but it is something that you would leak in a highly charged article to make him look bad or in a lawsuit or something like that.
Speaking court of things public opinion. Leaked in the lawsuit to make someone look bad. notice that the acrimony between Peter Angelos, the father of the two boys and the original the original owner, but between in this family, the original owner of the team, and John started because John could not pass the bar. That was a nice little barb. Yeah. To work in there. I think you had noticed another one too. Something related to the lawyer.
So it seems like I don't know what the technical term for this is, but his like father's former attorney, Chris Jones, has like moved a lot of the assets of the team into an LLC that John Angelos runs. And the suit says John Angelos co-opted his father's former attorney, Chris Jones, by helping boost Jones's daughter, an aspiring country singer named Carter Faith. John Angelos' wife, Margaret Valentine, runs a Nashville-based music production company that took Faith under her wing. The suit says she has performed multiple times at Camden Yards. Perfect. This is some real, I don't watch Succession, but this sounds like some real Succession shit.
Yeah, I've seen one season, and it's definitely that. Maybe if you prefer like the more bumbling version of it, it's like Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah, that's a good one too, yeah.
It's all kind of the same thing. I really appreciate that two AL East franchises are in the midst of Succession-ish shit, because like the Rogers, that the Blue Jays owned by like the Rogers Corporation, there is a huge fight about Rogers in within that family with very similar stuff going on, but obviously like more at stake than just the baseball team. I mean this in the midst of having just secured $1.2 billion in public money, I mean, like, incredible stuff to come out. I'm very interested in tracking what else happens here.
You're now a Maryland resident and taxpayer. I am a Maryland taxpayer. What are your thoughts on taking down the Baltimore Sun sign? Because Emma and I talked about that last week.
I tweeted about this. I fucking hate it. Uh-huh. It's not a surprise, but like everything about this is just the most craven.
Yeah. Like, because it's a real estate they can monetize in the stadium.
They're going to monetize it, and it's taking down something that is like iconic to the stadium. Because there's for people who don't know, there's a clock that says Baltimore Sun around it, and then it says the Sun underneath. And when there's a questionable hit or error, they flash the H or the E to indicate whether it's a hit or an error, so everyone in the crowd knows. The sign, again, it's like just this iconic and classic part of this ballpark that is absolutely the best thing about the Orioles organization right now. The ballpark, to be clear, not just a sign. But like, you're going to take that down. You're going to turn it into some stupid thing. Like, whoever just pays you the most money,
some
you're going
company.
To
company. Absolutely.
Right. It's going to be right.
Crypto
great
or like
it's going to be some Web3 Clockman, whatever the hell. They're going to privatize that revenue stream, and they're going to do it all with this money that they got from the public to, you know, renovate or rehabilitate the ballpark area or whatever the hell. They're going to use public money to take this down, to make a private revenue stream that makes the ballpark look worse and take away a thing people like. It's just everything about like life in 2022 that sucks complete ass.
Yep.
So that's how I feel about it. Anything else on ball? So you said, like, again, I said this before, but like, you said this explains a lot. In some ways it does. In other ways, like, their plan was to be shitty in general. Yeah, so no, like, I don't know.
Hey, Gunnar Henderson might be the best prospect in baseball. So you got that going for you.
Okay. Well, I feel like maybe a little fast, but maybe. I would also know, I did edit the minor league update yesterday. Jordan Westberg also hitting at AAA. So, sure. You know,
not the best prospect in baseball.
No, but some things are going well.
Yeah.
Our third topic, Jeffrey, this one near and dear to your heart, free jazz. Yeah. Not just because it's jazz, but also because it's jazz. Yeah. Chisholm. The Marlins held a team meeting.
Which, I mean, they haven't been playing great recently. So sometimes, you know, team play, it's just not an uncommon thing to happen when a team's struggling.
Yeah. No, they are not playing badly. They are 5 games under .500. Again, Jeff will laugh at me. They are plus 21 in run differential.
And also kind of like, I don't know what they expected when their two major lineup signings were Avisel Garcia and Jorge Soler. Soler's been fine, but like, they were not merely Avisel Garcia and Jorge Soler short. And obviously, you know, I don't know the exact reasons why Jeter left. It's been speculated that he wanted to spend more money and they didn't. You know, I wanted to sign that Castellanos.
Well, but they then did go sign Soler after that, right? Yeah. Like, it was the rumor
less
was it
money
was like 15
than
million.
Nick Castellanos. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Sure.
So yeah. So, but yeah.
I would also point out they are 5 games under .500, but with a solid run differential. While Trevor Rogers is having a nightmare of a season, Eliezer Hernandez has been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Luzardo was flashing some very interesting stuff, then got hurt. So, you know, I think, you know, all told, it's not going that bad. Obviously, Sandy Alcantara is having an incredible season. What? And I'm getting there. I'm getting there. But I would note that Alcantara has a better ERA right now.
Both in the top five in the NL, but yes.
Okay. Pablo Lopez is having an incredible season. The one thing I will say, especially for Alcantara, is he's got 84, almost 84 innings.
He did a complete game shutout. I mean, technically not a shutout because it went to...
Well, and technically 10, not a complete game, but he threw nine
fair
innings.
Fair enough.
He threw a nine-inning shutout and got nothing for it. Yeah. Yeah. He does have a complete game separate from that. But yeah, he's just incredible. Okay, but actually, before we get into the Jazz stuff, I am interested in this. I saw someone in our comments, not being a jackass, to be clear, say, like, Alcantara was never, like, a top 10 overall kind of guy.
Yeah.
And that's true. Regardless of whether you use ours or other rankings.
Yeah.
And they were basically like, kind of, how did this come to be? Like, I know people liked him, but it was a lot of like, he's very skinny. People thought there might be a reliever.
Yeah. He has a 7 changeup because of some.
Right. Well, and so I did reply that, right. I replied to the guy and I said, the Marlins have really excelled at
teaching.
I said, as Jarrett Seidler wrote in the most recent annual, their chapter, like they've made a habit of teaching these changeups and it's really good. But he always had mid to upper 90s velocity.
Yeah, good breaking ball, yeah.
And he had interesting breaking balls. And it's really just you add a 7 changeup and it changes the profile. But
yeah, it's a little weird that he's been durable.
He had tools. They just weren't always assembled. And so, you know, there are a lot of guys who have tools but don't have them assembled. They tend not to be top 10 type guys. But Alcantara is he's a number one pitcher.
He's an ace, yeah. I don't think you can really. I think there's enough of a track record there now that
he doesn't strike out batters at the clip that ace number one guys I think tend to, but he gets the results that they
a power sinker.
Right, right. No, I'm not. I'm not trying to take it away from it. I'm saying that's like someone might pick a nit in that way. But yeah, I guess just in terms of his prospect journey, he's still only 26 right now. I just didn't know if there's aside from just
no, I mean
the Marlins gave him a changeup.
You know. I always liked him a lot, but even the performance in the minors wasn't always. It was always kind of like projecting even on sort of the stuff in the command. And yeah, it doesn't. One of the reasons he ranked maybe higher than you'd think based on the stuff in the performance of the minors is when you do get these kind of jumps with this kind of pitcher, that's the outcome.
Right.
You get one of the, like, there's very few pitchers you can look at. You know, there are pitchers that ranked higher than Alcantara on those lists that probably didn't, had less of a chance to be a top of the rotation starter, but probably maybe had a higher floor or less reliever risk or so on and so forth.
Yeah. Just for what it's worth, we ranked him 3 times, which I think does show that we liked him quite a bit. Pre 2017, number 40, pre 2018, 70, pre 2019, 73. BA ranked him once before 2018 at 70. So, I mean, wow, both exactly number 70 for before 2018. So some agreement there kind of on where he was, but we obviously really liked him in general to rank him 3 times. But yeah, I mean, again, this. I it's a big deal when you take a pitch a guy doesn't really have. His changeup was always insanely hard, and a very firm change, as people would say. Now it's an out pitch. It's a weapon for him.
I mean, he's he's running a really, I don't know when you want to call it right yet, but 2021, 2022, which have been his two best seasons. You know, he's bumped his ground ball rate to 54%. His fly ball rate is a hair under 20. That'll play.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
And he strikes out enough guys. Like, it's an above average.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just not, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. To get to the subject that actually brought us here.
Yes.
The Marlins had a team meeting, as teams do when they're struggling a little bit. The focus of this meeting was about
one of their best players.
Well, yeah, and so I think Andy Slater had the scoop, as he likes to tweet out, he's got a Slater scoop. Yeah. I don't care for that particular type of self-branding personally, but whatever. That it was about effort. It was about there was another item, and then it was about
effort on and off the field.
How they dress. There was like a third item, I think, but the last one was how they dress coming to the park. And it appears this is almost entirely about Jazz Chisholm.
So John Heyman wrote about this at the Post.
Mm-hmm.
Chisholm turned out to be the subject for criticism in the team meeting, according to sources. His teammates aren't always as enamored as fans who love the style and the sizzle. Mattingly said he didn't want to talk behind anyone's back, and perhaps a little upfront honesty worked. I mean, maybe you could just, like, you know, I don't know, like, what to say. Jazz knew what to say. Later, after he went out and hit two home runs in that game, said, I have that tool that's called I don't care. I just go out there and have fun.
Yeah, someone made a comparison. Oh, they said he's the Dennis Rodman of the Marlins.
My first thought when I saw someone said that, context, right? It was like, oh, that's, I wonder why this comp is being made. But it was actually made in a positive way. He suggested teammates might be jealous. Jazz is like Dennis Rodman. He will always be a lightning rod, but he works and plays hard.
So, sure. But what I would say is, like, Dennis Rodman was like that for a championship team. Yeah. Like, let's but Jazz is, I mean, what I don't understand is you want to talk about guys coming out flat or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
He's got an 840 OPS. He's got a 133 OPS plus. He's leading the league in triples.
Yeah.
I just don't understand what we're doing.
He's been taking one of their best players. I mean, he's probably in their best position player when you factor in the fact that he's a...
I don't think there's a question.
Pretty good defender at second, that. Too. Yeah.
He's absolutely been their best hitter. Soler has been fine.
Yeah.
Brian Cooper's Anderson been good, has been yeah. fine.
Anderson's hurt, but yeah. And like, look, I don't... This fucking stinks, basically, to me. It's like stinks to high heaven.
It doesn't seem productive.
Yeah.
And what Kim Ng came out and said, was she the one who said Dennis Rodman, or was it someone?
No, it was somebody. It was a named source. I don't know if it was someone she in the came, organization what or
the
teammate.
Did you have the
she
thing
just said, like,
she
he's
said?
Good. That's his thing. He said he's
it
good.
Was like, it was yeah. like basically like Kim Ng's defense of Jazz Chisholm was like, he's really good at baseball.
Yeah.
Which seems to be, to me, to be the right. Now, look, I will admit, having no insight into the Marlins locker room, yeah. that you can be really good at baseball and also a headache not worth having.
Sure.
That is a Venn diagram, you know, there you can live inside those two circles inside of a Venn diagram of being such a pain in the ass that you're not worth it despite being very good. I think it's harder to be what I think is clearly the best player on, not pitcher, but like best player on the team, and also not worth it. And also entertaining and someone the fans love and all of these things, right?
Also, I feel like if you're leading with how we dress on the way to the ballpark, that's...
It's not really about... Right,
it's not exactly. really about that, yeah.
So you asked this, and I think it's relevant since we asked it about La Russa. Like, how long does Don Mattingly have here?
Yeah, I don't... So the Kim Ng quote was especially interesting to me because, like, I get that she is not necessarily, like, I don't even know if she knew they were having this meeting. I don't know how she involved she gets in the field staff stuff, but.
Some front offices are very involved. Obviously, it's the bigger trend. But some, you know, the clubhouse is the managers and not
right,
the front
so I don't know. So. But, like, yeah. There seems to be, I don't want to say a miscommunication, but a disagreement on this between the front office and the field staff.
Yeah, it yeah.
So
I mean, I feel like the front office cares about what he's doing on the field, and the.
I mean, there was a thing where he was like retweeting people complaining he wasn't in the lineup against the lefty early in the season.
You know, that's not that big a deal. I don't know. Who do you think wins out? I'm going to guess Jazz.
I am also going to guess Jazz, yeah.
Especially given Kim Ng's comments.
Yeah. Although he's going to be entering arbitration soon, so.
Well, that's true. I guess the budget always wins out.
The budget always wins, yeah.
Yeah. All right. On that note, why don't you and I take a quick break? We can have our own clubhouse meeting, and then we'll come back with our last two subjects. Welcome back to episode 220 of Five and Dive. It is Friday, June 10th, and we are going around the horn in our fourth segment. Jeffrey, it finally happened. It brought some cursed moments with it.
Nothing more cursed than having your entire lineup walk out to Nickelback.
You say that, but it leads me to believe you did not see Jeff Passan's post at like 1 a.m. or whatever the hell it was.
I saw it. I was sitting in my... I didn't want to play it with sound on in the room next to the baby because I didn't know what I was getting into. And
good choice, number one.
I didn't know what it was. The responses to it made me think I didn't need to know what it was, but...
What it was Jeff Passan doing... So first of all, he did a tweet of a Nickelback parody.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the Angels, based on them coming out to Nickelback the whole time. I mean, like, I understand that, whatever. Bad tweets are an expertise of mine. That's fine. I accept it. Then he tweeted by request, and it was a video of him singing that in an Elmo voice, which he's also known to do. So it was really just, again, I can't describe it better than cursing. But the Angels broke their win streak. That's what got us here. 14 games, that is over. They beat the Red Sox. Thanks to
Ohtani. Ohtani pitching and homering.
Yeah, really, thanks to Ohtani. He pitched and he hit a home run. That was the margin of a victory. Andrew Velasquez provided some breathing room, which is a weird sentence to say unto itself. Again, maybe some devilry in that. He hit a 3-run homer. They won, 5-1, yeah. I think. Was the final score.
Right, get to the important stuff, Craig.
I was going to say, I'm not going to break down this game. Ohtani did it all. Andrew Velasquez hit a home run. Joe Adele is why we are
here. Back.
He's back in the majors.
Yeah.
He went 2-for-2, a double and a single. He did have a really bad base running play where he did not score on a hit that absolutely should have, and it was 0-0 for quite a bit, so it was looming large. He also walked. You know, I think again we have never left the Joe Adele bandwagon. We've admitted it's been bumpy, but we've never really left. He was also replaced defensively later in the game, which has happened multiple times. I think again, you know, you're looking for a win during 14 straight losses. I think that's pretty reasonable.
Sure, I'm encouraged. Let's see how it plays out.
I did want to. I need to pull the stats here really quick. His plate discipline stats. The thing that we, of course, are tracking: Z contact rate.
Yeah.
His zone contact.
I got this
rate.
Flag since, in his last stint in Salt Lake City, with the suggestion that he might be figuring it out. Yeah.
That he was doing better on balls in the zone in terms of making contact, not swinging through things as much. And I really do think like he's got enough power, enough bat speed that like that's not going to be, you know, maybe he's not going to hit those moonshots that we saw in like spring training, but like his power will play just fine if he can make enough contact. This is five games. I'm not trying to sell it as more than it is. I'm just giving you a stone cold fact. His Z contact rate in his five games back to the majors, 90%.
That's good.
That's That's very good. League average, for reference, 82%.
Yeah.
So I think he probably settles in below league average. But I think he can be a useful player below league average on Z count, right? Like if he's in the upper 70s, that's probably okay. He was close to league average last year at like, what, 78%, I think. So, yeah. Anyway, Joe Adell watches back. We're
it never again, really
maybe
left,
a little too closely, perhaps, for some people. But this is who we are. We have not really talked about the defending world champions other than to say that they've been disappointing, Jeff. But they have ripped off 8 in a row.
Yeah. That, they are now, I would say this is like people are going to be calling up Paul Feinbaum asking who they played, basically, because it's been a slightly softer portion of the schedule, but you got to beat the bad teams, obviously.
I mean, what's very funny is I saw on Twitter, like, Yankee fans being, apparently the Yankees are getting, they haven't played nobody. Mm-hmm. They want, you know, I guess, I don't know, they want Bama or something.
Yeah.
But the Braves have, as I said, ripped off 8 in a row. They are now 4 games above 500. They're 31-27. They're 6.5 back of the Mets. The Mets, I believe, on June 1st, it was 10.5.
I think 9.5 or 10.5. Yeah.
9.5.
And they haven't, like, they've not had a great road trip, but they split with the Dodgers and lost 2-3 to San Diego, which are, it's going to happen.
Those are good teams. Yeah. And that's, we were interested to see
the current schedule. So these 8 games, the last game of the Arizona series, they lost the first two. So yeah, they haven't lost in June yet. They beat Arizona, swept Colorado for 4, swept Oakland for 2. Won the first game against Pittsburgh, and they go to the Nationals and the Cubs next. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as a Dodgers fan, I can't say anything about Pittsburgh. Yeah. But
sure.
having lost 5 of 6 to them. But, I mean, but like, yeah, but then I think
they
other
come,
teams,
they come out
other
of that, and they have the Giants, the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Reds, the Cardinals. So it does get a little bit tricky.
Right. This is as they would say, a soft part of the schedule. And
they
and
were, look, they were always
capitalist.
Going to...
They were better than this.
They were always
right.
going to
They were better than they were.
They got, you know, Acuna is killing the ball.
Killing.
You know, they've got, I don't know, pitching. It's been, they were always going to be, like I said, I expected them to at some point make a run.
Right. I mean, when we did bring them up, we were like, what's going on? Like, why are they not better? Austin Riley remains hitting. I think a big part is Dansby Swanson being one of the hottest and cold. You know, he runs extremely hot and cold. It was cold to start the year. He's been really good. He's up to a 112 OPS plus. And Acuna has been incredible. You know, I laughed at this at one point. Orlando Arcia, Jeffrey.
Sure.
At DH. It's 54 plate appearances. I'm going in.
Okay.
Again,
we're doing 5-game Joe Adell Z contact. We can do 54 plate appearances.
Yeah. Well, so I'm just saying. Yeah. 298, 370, 447.
That'll play.
Yeah. 124 OPS plus. I would also know William Contreras has been
very good,
incredible for them at catcher. Obviously, Travis d'Arnaud is fine.
Sure.
William Contreras is the Contreras brothers are having a season. Yes. I would point out Wilson's been fantastic too. William is 304, 382, 684 from the catcher spot.
Yeah.
Damn good. Damn good. So they are, the Phillies are the other team on a bit of a run, unshackled from the burden that is Joe Girardi. The Phillies have won
the
7
Brewers.
In a row. Yes.
I mean, they got the Angels. Well, the Angels were in the middle of their big losing streak, but then when they knocked around Corbin Burns, they knocked around Adrian Hauser, they can obviously hit. I do wonder if this is a little bit of a new manager bounce, but again, they weren't 7 games under 500 bad, I don't think.
Well, that's right. They were 8 games under 500 bad because they've won 7 in a row and they're not quite there, but they're close.
Yeah.
They're in the Phillies zone, which is they should be better than they have been, and it's directly right under 500. They are 2.5 back of Atlanta. They are 9 back of the Mets. I'm just like, do you think this is a division again? Like, do you think a competition?
I would say, sure. The Mets are going to have to sort of muddle through. It sounds like Max Scherzer's already throwing like bullpens. We might be back. I mean, he's a maniac, so but he might be back fairly soon. They're getting Tyler McGill back tonight. They are, you know, even in the stretch since they lost Scherzer, they've been a few games over 500, even though their pitching, starting pitching, hasn't been great because they've been hitting a ton. Alonso and Marte have been out the last game and a half or so. You know, Marte bruised his quad on a slide and Alonso got hit on the hand. It sounds like they're both going to avoid the IL. That's not a lock, but it's not as bad as it maybe looked on Wednesday. But again, they've had their depth tested, so I think they're going to need to. I mean, look, I suspect by the end of June, because the Mets schedule continues to be pretty tough the rest of the month, it's going to be somewhere in the like 4 to 5 game range. But they don't really. Again, they'll be getting Scherzer back. DeGrom, not even. I'm not even going to worry about DeGrom until he's pitching on a major league mound. But really, after the All-Star break, they have basically what the Braves have had for the last 2 weeks, so, in terms of schedule.
Yeah, and I would also point out, not to sound like every Mets manager over the last decade, but when it comes to someone like DeGrom, I'm not saying it's a in-season trade acquisition. Right. What I would say is that there is no more consequential addition any team could make than getting to, you know, I mean, Jacob DeGrom.
The other problem is literally the over under for starts he will make this year is like 0.5.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he will come back. I'm not saying he's gonna, I'm just saying if he comes back, like there is no more consequential acquisition any team can make.
Yes, he is the best pitcher in baseball, and he will be replacing like Trevor Williams in the rotation.
Right.
So.
Right.
Who's actually been quite good. So I mean, not he's, quite good. Yeah, he's been fine. Right. Yeah. Like a sub-4 ERA, throwing 5 innings a start, which is exactly what you would hope for from Trevor Williams when pressed into regular rotation work.
Absolutely. The Minnesota Twins cannot beat the New York Yankees.
They can. We mentioned it earlier, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you
7 runs off Gerrit Cole and they still lose.
Back to back to back.
Yeah.
Home runs off
and then
Cole.
Buxton hit another one, too.
Buxton had 2.
Yeah.
The problem was Dylan Bundy.
Dylan Bundy and that. Yeah. 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 There you go.
And Joey Gallo seems to be picking things up a little bit. 2 homers in this one. Aaron Hicks hit a home run in this one. He tied the game at 7, but they ended up, the last I saw of it was 9-7. I did not check if that was the actual final or not. But I mean, this 10-7. Was the final. The Twins, man,
they might just win that division good, anyway. I know,
even when they're good, they came out to a 7-3 lead. Again, 3 in the first, 3 in the second, 1 in the third. That was it. The Yankees just kept scoring. Aaron Hicks 2-for-5. We're not talking a ton about Gleyber Torres having a very nice bounce back season. Josh Donaldson 2-for-4, Anthony Rizzo 2-for-4, DJ LeMahieu.
It's a tough lineup. So he hit up and down. Yeah,
he hit a home run as well. So 2 for Gallo, 1 for LeMahieu, 1 for Hicks. Yeah, I mean Hicks and Gallo especially are have been struggling this year.
Yeah,
and so if those guys are hitting, you're going to have a really very tough time against the Yankees. Yeah. And Garrett, you know, what's interesting to me is like Gerrit Cole, you know, a lot of people thought obviously with the sticky stuff ban, like he regressed after that. He had the hamstring injury where he was really bad late in the season last year. He had been pitching extremely well this year.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. It was very interesting. Well, I mean, again, the results have been normal. I'm going to get into some small sample stuff, but Joey Gallo's last 3 games, 5 hits in 12 at bats, 3 home runs.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
We're down to
I'm
3
just
game samples now.
Yeah. What? Look, I said it's a small sample. I'm just saying he seems to be.
Well, as long as you're doing small samples, a guy I've been keeping an eye on, Jose Miranda in the last week, 429, 455, 810.
Okay.
He got off to an
yeah,
awful
he had been,
start.
Yeah, he started off horribly, horribly. And I noticed when we were talking about the Twins, I think last spot, he was up into like an 80 OPS plus range, which was like vast improvement. All right.
Well, something a little more significant, 288, 312, 525 in his last 28 days.
Yeah,
that's fine.
That's going to fly.
He has not been walking like at all. But
well, I guess if you're slugging that over the last 28 days, I would swing too. There was an article in the Athletic by Evan Drellick about MLB testing tacky baseballs or their own grip solutions.
Yeah.
Sticky stuff solutions in the minors. There was
these tacky balls, I think, in the Southern League and the Texas League, and everyone hated it.
Yeah. He did add an addendum yesterday. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, they've already discontinued it, I think.
Right. They're not using them anymore. They might reintroduce them again later in the year.
As a prospect evaluator, I love this shit. This is very helpful to me in my work.
What I would also say is there's a theory of, I've talked to some people who have a working theory of how MLB does this stuff, and it's that someone knows a guy. And
someone knows a guy at Dow Chemical, I guess. Yeah.
Well, he owns he owns a minor league team.
Of course he does.
The guy at Dow Chemical. So yeah. Of course they know a guy.
Capitalism at its finest. Yeah.
Yeah. It's constantly like, yeah, someone knows someone and that's how they got in.
Can't wait for the ads on Picks Mets games in 2050. Asking if you were you a pitcher from 2025 to 2040, you can join a class action lawsuit from whatever chemicals Dow was putting on your hands.
Here we go. MLB first met with Dow Chemical during last year's All-Star Week. William Stavropoulos is the owner of a minor league team in Midland, Michigan, the Great Lake Loons, Dodgers.
Yeah.
Dodgers affiliate. So, and a former CEO of Dow. Mm-hmm. So there you go. He knew some people.
Yeah.
That I can help you with this. So that's going to be, I don't know. We'll track it, but I don't know what to make about it. It seems like everyone's miserable about it. Things people are not miserable about, Jeffrey. Gabriel Moreno is coming up to the big leagues this weekend. I don't know. What do we have him on our last prospects ranking? I know some were more aggressive.
20-ish.
Probably, again, we've had a lot of graduations at this point. You know, I don't know, what, 15-ish maybe at this point, just on attrition?
Midseason.
He was 22nd. He was 22nd.
He is, whatever. He's 16 on the current midseason 50 draft.
So 15-ish, yeah. This is because Danny Jansen got hurt.
Yeah, it's interesting. So he's been pretty much just catching in Buffalo this year. They had started to try him at like third base last year before his hand injury, and they suggested he might try some outfield time as well. I don't know how much that's to get his bat in lineup and how much of that is he's not a great defensive catcher, but he's been quite good this year. He's not hitting for power. Some of that might be, you know, it was a hand wrist thing last year, and obviously that can linger.
Right.
He doesn't always consistently lift the ball despite really good bat speed and what I would consider plus raw. So
he is slashing .324, .380, .404 through 150 plays.
Which I mean, if he's close to that 22. In the majors as a catcher, it doesn't really matter if
that's
he's
hitting
a ton of power, and there's more upside past that.
Yeah, well, and in that lineup, I mean, it almost.
I don't like. I mean, you can certainly DH him or, you know, DH Kirk, but, you know, obviously Alejandro Kirk's hitting so well at this point. He's like.
Right. I mean, this is the other
playing every
Kirk
day.
Kirk is hitting .322, .401, .477.
Yeah.
And it seems like he's gotten, I think, better defensively, at least in terms of the receiving.
It is a little Jansen's obviously a very good defender, but. Oh, he had been hitting this year, but.
Well, it's a very Mike Zunino style of
sure,
it. Or 2021.
But it's more like the traditional like backup profile you want, right? Glove and pop kind of. And Moreno really isn't that. So I'm curious to see how they allocate playing time. Do they try him at other positions? Obviously,
yeah. I was a little surprised that they went to him. Although I guess I don't know their catcher depth chart. that well. Obviously, they moved on from Reese McGuire. They sent Riley Adams to the Nationals last year.
Yeah, so maybe you don't want to try Zach Collins, but I mean, Gabriel Moreno's probably a better defensive catcher than Zach Collins.
Yeah, so. I think just leave. Honestly, Zach Collins somehow has a above league average line.
What's the OBP right now?
leave him where
like
he
270?
Is. 270. On Collins?
Yeah.
It is 288,
yeah.
Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Again, 212, 288, 455. That is a 111 OPS in OPS plus.
But it is another fun offensive player for the Blue Jays, as if they needed another one. But.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, like, Raimel Tapia is hitting like absolute bombs.
It's a Rob Orr favorite there.
A Tapia?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's disappointing. I expect better from Rob. You will be talking about Gabriel Moreno a little bit on Jay's radio. So if people want to check that out with Blake Murphy. I'm not going to say friend of the show or even of this. I've been friends with Blake, over the internet for a while. He's been a Raptors focused guy up in Canada, but he's got a Blue Jays radio show. And so he's going to be talking Moreno. You're going to be there, 4 PM
yeah.
on Friday. So but people can find it. I'm sure they will post clips or whatever. All right. Our last moment, our last item on Around the Horn. They have July 4th hats, Jeffrey. 10
they do.
July 4th hats have leaked. I'm seeing the vibe I'm getting that I'm seeing people talk about these from is like gas station hats.
Yeah, it's like flag vomit.
Yeah. I saw Lindsay Adler say it was LaCroix chic, which I understand. I'm looking at a LaCroix can in front of me. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. It's like street paint streaks in blue.
Yeah,
and
what's that
red.
Little the little spinny thing you would have as a kid and you'd like squirt the paint on and it would,
right.
Whatever that is.
Here's what I would say. Like, you're gonna see a lot of like euphemisms for like this is like trucker-ish, this is what people from the country would wear, whatever. That's fine.
Right. I don't mind.
My
these
problem
is
I think
take.
They're ugly.
They're ugly, but they're ugly in a like more acceptable way than so like previously they would have the regular hats but they'd like do the flag logo or like in
yeah,
the actual
stars
logo,
and bars the logo.
Logo and it was always whatever. Like
it just it looked terrible
they look terrible this these look also look bad but there's at least more of a
they
point
don't
of
look,
view
they don't
I guess
look good.
They're gonna look The thing is, they're probably going to look worse with the actual uniforms because the color scheme is just, not going to. There are certain teams that'll be fine with, but yeah.
Yeah, like the Phillies will probably, the Nats will probably be fine because that's their
Nats
color scheme, whatever.
Cardinals will be okay.
What I don't understand exactly is, like, why is the Phillies.
The Athletics
P
will be hilarious.
Why is the Phillies P blue? They are, like, their regular logo P is red. Right.
Yeah. I don't
and
know
it fits the color. It's just baffling. My biggest objection to these is that, again, it's all subjective. I think they're ugly. It's not, I mean, they are like gas station or truck stop hats or whatever, like in terms of overall style. I think that's fine.
Right.
There are very successful versions of those hats.
Yeah.
I just don't think this is it.
Fair enough.
All right. That is in the books. Jeff, what are you watching this weekend? Can you do it without saying Pablo Lopez?
I cannot. Okay. Pablo Lopez against Luis Garcia today. Yeah,
that's a
good
matchup.
Edward Cabrera, who's been very good since coming back from the minors against Justin Verlander on Sunday.
Yeah, Edward Cabrera got some pitching ninja treatment his last time out. I suspect it won't be the last time.
It's really good
stuff.
That shit
moves.
It's a question of health and command. And so far, the health and command have been okay this time around.
Yep. Shane Boz coming back.
Yeah. 2022
making his season
debut on Saturday.
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah. I'm very excited. I wanted to figure out where to rank him at midseason. He will not be eligible.
Dodgers and Giants are squaring off this weekend.
A little less juice. I mean, it's still a good series. It's an important series, but the Giants have been, I don't know, a little. less giantsy, less 2021 giantsy.
Yeah, they are four games above 500. They are fine, but they're going through. There was a little more juice earlier in the season when it felt like they were repeating the 107, 106 win kind of pace contest. But the Giants have fallen off a little bit. They're going through a little rough patch. It's going to be a weird the pitching matchups are also this. They moved. Who did they move? They moved someone, so now it's like Chris Bubich is going to be starting tonight.
Do you mean Jake Junis?
Because
Chris Bubich is still on the Royals, I believe.
Yeah, he's still on the Royals. That'll be the guy they fix next
Chris Bubich, 2025, 3.5
years Giants for the breakout. Giants.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's embarrassing. Yeah, I do mean Jake Junis. It's just a Royal, whatever. Yeah. Former Royal. Jake Junis will be starting Friday night. That's tonight. They're doing a bullpen game Saturday. And then Carlos Rodon will pitch Sunday. That'll be a nice matchup. I think Clayton Kershaw is coming back this weekend. So that's nice. You know, one thing to keep an eye on there, I will shout out Michael Ajeto wrote about Walker Buehler and his terrible fastball. I mean, people have been talking about this. I heard the Dodgers broadcast talk about kind of the struggles he's had with it. Fabian Ardaya also wrote about kind of his search for finding his fastball again at The Athletic. So something to keep an eye on there. But what I was going to say was between Jake Junis and a bullpen game, the Giants are winning like 2 out of 3 of these games. It's inevitable. And again, the Dodgers needed some help from Tony La Russa to win 2 out of 3 against the White Sox. So the
podcast
I don't
is
know.
Hosted by fans of the two best teams in the National League. And
who can't stop complaining.
Can't stop complaining, yeah. I'm trying to be like, I was taking some people to task during the last Padres game. I'm just like, I need to be able to, like, the Mets don't play like this often enough where I can not enjoy it when they do. So
yeah,
you don't have that problem, Craig, because your team has made the playoffs like 11 straight years. But
yeah, no, I have very first world problems with my team. What I would say is that I basically treat the Dodgers. There's that Eagles tweet where it's like, no, I'm not an Eagles fan. I hate them with every fiber of my being. I just want them to win more than anything. It's different. That's kind of how I approach fandom with
the Dodgers. At some level, like especially in some of the Dodgers games, the Padres games too, like Mets Twitter was getting into like Eagles Twitter level of, I don't know what the score is based on how upset everyone is, and it's always
everyone's
like 2-0.
Mad. It's like 3-0.
Yeah.
The last grouping to mention: Rays Twins, which should be again. We mentioned Boz is coming back, but the Twins have been interesting when they're not blowing big leads against the Yankees. The Rays need to stay in it. The Yankees are. The Yankees are 41-16. So the Rays, despite being 11 games over 500, trail by 7 games. It's a tough situation for them. All right. I think that'll do it, Jeff. Thank you. Thank you for co-hosting this with me. It was a pleasure. Thank you to our listeners who hopefully thought the same for tuning into another episode of Five and Dive brought to you by the Baseball Prospectus Podcast Network and our Patreon supporters. You can support our Patreon at patreon.com/fiveanddive, and you can get in touch with the show at fiveanddive@baseballprospectus.com. We are wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for the Baseball Prospectus Podcast Network, and we'll be in that feed. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you next week.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.